Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Cox, who has served three U.S. presidents and four governors, has run the state GOP since 2009. My friend, Chairman Cox, welcome back to the show.
Alan, good to be back with you.
So give us the state of the Republican Party in New York State. How you doing?
Well, look, when I came on in September of 2009, we had nothing in Albany. We were in the minority in the Senate for the first time since the 1930s. Of course, we didn't. We were in the minority in the Assembly. We had only two members of Congress. Since then, we now have eight members of Congress, and we have a majority in the state Senate. And for a good period of time, put aside the by-election that we had a super minority, we went from 39 up to 51 members of the Assembly, and a lot of young, aggressive new members there who are making a mark and earning their credits for the future in the Assembly.
How did the reapportionment in New York State help or hurt you?
The reapportionment worked out very well. From the state Senate point of view, it worked out well. I think we have a very good chance of increasing our majority in the state Senate. We're just showing a lot of strength, well organized. We are well financed at this point compared to the Democratic minority in the state Senate, which is very disorganized, is getting appropriately. The culture of corruption there is becoming obvious, and some of the trials are going on. With respect to Congress, which, as you know, was done on the judiciary redistricted the congressional districts, we have a good chance of picking up four more seats, maybe as many as six more seats, but certainly four. In Congress, I can give you examples of how rationalizing the congressional districts the way the judiciary did it, particularly upstate, has made several of those districts appropriately much more winnable for us.
So you really think it was that the courts, because I always thought that what the courts did here is basically say that what the legislature had done was okay.
On the congressional side, no, the courts redid the maps fairly extensively.
Interesting.
They got rid of what was called the earmuff district that went from Monroe County, that's Rochester, to Niagara, and down to Erie County, that was Buffalo. That doesn't make any sense as a compact district. That is Louise Slaughter's district, and it is now just Monroe County. While that is a Democratic county in registration, the county exec, Maggie Brooks, has done a very good job. She's very popular there, and she's declared her candidacy for that congressional seat. With respect to Hochul's seat, a Democrat, that has now become more Republican. There's a primary going on the Republican side, and whoever comes out of that primary will probably win that district, even though there is an incumbent Democrat in it. I suspect that we're going to win that district. So in the end, we've been helped by the judiciary giving compact districts that make sense from the area that they cover.
Ed Cox, I guess I want to ask you now about Mr. Romney. Now, I always make the mistake of saying George Romney. That shows you how old I am. That shows you how...
I could make that same mistake too, Alan.
That shows
you know, his father, of course, served in my father-in-law's cabinet, as you know, as Secretary of HUD, and was a presidential candidate in 1968, who was, in fact, the leading candidate until the New Hampshire primary.
There may be three people in the country who don't know that you're the son-in-law of Richard Nixon, but since you made the reference, I thought I would tell them what you were talking about. So is Romney good for your politics in New York State?
He fits New York State like a glove. He is really all the accusations that were thrown at him being the Massachusetts moderate by his opponents are just make him a plus here in the, for the general electorate in New York State. And in fact, nominating process, the primary process, came to an end because of New York State. There was a three-week period when there are no other caucuses or primaries that led up to our April 24th primary yesterday, and in that period, the polling showed that with the Republican primary, likely primary voters, Mitt Romney was going to get a majority. We were a proportional state with respect to allocating delegates. But if you get a majority, and let's say you get all the at-large delegates, and he probably, Mitt probably would have gotten most of the delegates congressional district by congressional district. That Rick Santorum, looking at that, made a decision it was time to suspend his campaign.
Interesting.
And we have 95 delegates, far more than any other state to date. Florida, of course, is a larger state. They went before us, but they were cut in half because they had jumped ahead of the line as far as when their primary was.
Yeah, fascinating. You're one of the most astute analysts of this stuff, and you never, I mean, the one thing I love about talking to you is I just don't hear you ever gild the lily. I mean, you tell it pretty much like it is. So I wanted to ask you this. If Mitt Romney calls you on the phone and says, who should be the VP candidate who will help me the most? Who's on your list?
Well, and incidentally, if you don't understand it as it is, you're not going to do well. You got to deal realistically with the facts as they are. So that's I'm trying to understand them the best I can. We need to have a strong Republican Party here in New York State if this state's going to go in the right direction. So, with respect to the VP candidate, the basic rule about choosing a vice presidential candidate is that you can they will not, unless it's a Lyndon Johnson in a state like Texas, the candidate will not carry the state for you. You cannot count on that because in the end, the voters will be voting at the top of the ticket. However, a vice presidential candidate can hurt you. If you want to go back historically, take a look at Eagleton or others
Or Sarah Palin, just for the hell of it.
Well, there's, of course, a debate on that, and some people feel that she did hurt McCain. But you do need to have someone who is qualified at a moment's notice to be president of the United States. Now, in that category, particularly where you have and I'm very glad that he is coming from outside the Beltway, but Governor Romney was governor of Massachusetts. His success has been as an executive. He's a strong leader, an effective leader. He got things done on a bipartisan basis in Massachusetts as a Republican governor in that very Democratic state. Whether you agree or disagree with what he did, he got them done. He saved the Salt Lake Olympics again, a good leadership, and in business. He's been
did you leave out Romney Care as an achievement?
Well, you know, people can debate Romney Care, but he got it done in Massachusetts.
You bet he did. Is that a vulnerability in the campaign?
No, it's not a vulnerability. Rick Santorum was technically right in saying, gee, this is like Obamacare, and therefore how can you attack Obama? Obamacare is a symbol of every – it's not just the substance, which is terrible nationwide, Obamacare. But putting that aside, it is politically, it is a symbol of everything that is wrong with that the Obama administration has done wrong. First of all, it does not. Obama was elected to in a crash of the financial markets with Lehman going down and the stock market going down and unemployment going up, he was elected and given a huge Democratic majority, not only in the House, but 60, a filibuster-proof Senate. And he was supposed to focus on the economy and jobs, and he didn't do that. Instead, he focused on a national takeover of 1/6 of the nation's economy and healthcare, which had it was detrimental, in fact, with respect to jobs and the economy. And other things he did also went in that same vein, but Obamacare really stands out as a big example of that. Secondly, it was not done. He said he was about uniting America, not dividing it. And Obamacare got passed. It's the first big social program in the history of the United States that got passed with bipartisan opposition. Franklin Roosevelt got his New Deal passed with good Republican support. He made the compromises necessary, and so the New Deal in general has stuck.
But
the
Ed,
same with the Great Society and Johnson. Johnson had bipartisan support. The Obamacare was passed with not one Republican vote, and 34 Democrats voted against it.
What was the mistake? But what was the substantive mistake in Obamacare? Was it the fact that some middle-class folks didn't get included? What was it?
The substantive mistake was, put aside the substance. You can talk about the substance all day one way or the other and your different political philosophies. But the problem was the American people elected him and the huge majorities in both houses of the Congress to focus on jobs and the economy. And it, in fact, was Obamacare was a damper on the economy and jobs because of the huge dislocations involved in it.
Okay, but Ed, because I really want, I mean, I'm so delighted to have you with us. I get that.
By the way, it was also passed by parliamentary trickery. It was not only not bipartisan, but they used the reconciliation process, which was supposed to be used for the budget, but because Obama didn't have a budget for 3 years, you could only use reconciliation once. And John McCain, last Friday, was livid about this. He said that, this has never been done, but the parliamentarian in the Senate said, yes, you can say this is the budget. So Obamacare was, in essence, passed with only having, you only needed a simple majority, not 60, in order to get it passed. So it was it's symbol of everything that's wrong about the Obama administration, and that's the importance of it. It's not the substance of it, because the substance gets very complicated, and you can differ on that.
Okay, so let's go back to my original question. I'm not letting you off the hook.
So you want a vice president?
I want to know who Ed wants. Yeah, go ahead.
The point I was making is that Mitt Romney was governor. He's been outside the Beltway his whole career, which is a huge plus. We need someone from outside the Beltway who's a strong leader to be the next president. But that means he needs someone who is from inside the Beltway as his vice president.
Just like Ike needed your father-in-law. For exactly the same reasons.
And so who? Mitch Daniels. He has been a superb governor of Indiana, got a lot done there. But he served in the administration he ran OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. He knows how the budget works. He understands that very well. That's very helpful for President Romney in his first year. And he is also people, while he doesn't have a huge political persona necessarily, he certainly would know how what you need to do to be an effective president of the United States and would be very good at it. Rob Portman, a senator from Ohio. He not only served in the same position as Mitch did, Mitch Daniels did, he was the director of the Office of Management and Budget, but before that, he ran the U.S. Trade Representative, and so he negotiated with a lot of foreign governments. He understands foreign trade, foreign policy, and he's now elected freshman senator from Ohio. Those are the high-quality people who are clearly qualified at a moment's notice to be president of the United States and can be tremendously helpful as vice president to a President Romney.
Okay, that's really very helpful, and I appreciate it, as always, that, you're straight out about it. So If Romney versus Obama in blue state New York, how does that play out down ticket? The state Senate races, the congressional races. It can't be helpful, right?
Well, Alan, this may surprise you, but I'm gonna I think there's a very strong possibility here that Romney could carry New York State. This election feels like 1980 all over to me. A Democratic president who, in a very struggling economy, who couldn't give the country the leadership that it hungered for, it was ineffective. And New York State, that was the last time that New York State voted for a challenging, a Republican who was challenging an incumbent Democrat for the presidential, for the presidency.
And I'm going to say something to you here, and I hope you take it in exactly the humor in which it's offered. But if that happens, I'll meet you in Macy's window on December 25th.
Okay, that's a deal, Alan.
Would like to see. Yeah, right.
You know, and at this point, Ronald Reagan, in April of 1980, Ronald Reagan was at 34% in the polls. Jimmy Carter was at 42%, and Ronald Reagan ended up at 50, and Jimmy Carter ended up at 43, and it was a small landslide, big landslide actually, with Reagan carrying all the states except for five.
Well, you're smarter than I am, and maybe you'll be right. But I wanted to ask you something.
The consequence for New York under those circumstances, I think we could do very well, because that was remember that's the last time when a non-incumbent challenger won a senatorship here in New York, Al D'Amato. At this point, no one knew who the supervisor of Hempstead was, and he became the next senator. That could happen again.
Speaking of senators, what about Senator Gillibrand? Can she be beaten?
That's the point I'm making. I think that can happen here. She does not have a strong identity because she was an upstate conservative Democratic congressman in a Republican district, and then she, when she was named by Patterson to be a U.S. senator, she flip-flopped on every issue and, in fact, went to the far left. And the National Journal, a very respectable publication, has deemed her one of the two most far-left members of the United States Senate. And she did it for a reason, very pragmatic political reason, and that is she wasn't scared of a Republican challenge. She was scared of a very liberal primary against her on the Democratic side. So she went far left, too far left. We've got three very good candidates now who came out of the our March 16th convention in Rochester with guns blazing at her. Wendy Long on women's issues, Bob Turner on economic issues, George Maragos on foreign issues and trade issues. And any one of the three of them, I think, coming out of that are the June 26th primary, whichever one wins that, would be a very effective candidate against Gillibrand, who has gone too far left for New York State, which is very pragmatic in the end in this voting, especially if it looks like it's going to be a President Romney. To have a Republican senator would make a lot of sense for New York State.
I want to point out that when Senator Gillibrand was appointed, which he was in the beginning, standing right next to her is the guy you were just talking about, Al D'Amato.
That's true, because there is a personal relationship there. That's right.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about you. How long do you want to do this?
The New York State needs to have a Republican Party that is a strong institution here, that is pro-growth, pro-business, and getting New York State back to its basic DNA as a state, which is not suppressing of merit and business with a myriad of regulations and the highest taxes in the United States. We need to get back to New York, not shedding jobs and sending them to other states, but bringing them into New York State. And to do that, you need a strong Republican Party. And I want to build it as an institution, and that is here, that is a party that stands on its own, that people recognize it as being that pro-growth, pro-business force here in New York State, and I'm going to spend the time that it takes to get that done.
Let me ask you something. Going back to Gillibrand for a moment, she said something the other day that astounded a lot of people. She said she wanted to be the charter person to nominate Hillary for president in 2016, and I would have given anything to be a fly on the wall of Governor Cuomo's office when that happened. What did you make of that?
I don't know why a senator from New York is making some statements like that. She should be paying attention to what's needed for the people in New York State in this time of crisis when New York is shedding jobs. People are leaving the state. We just lost two congressional districts. As Ohio lost to every, you know, we two states have just been, New York has been seen as out-migration of businesses because of the high tax and the anti-business climate here. And for her not to be focusing on that and to be talking about that kind of thing, I think it's a huge mistake on her part.
You think she got a telephone call from the governor?
I doubt it. It was just a very dumb comment to make.
In New York City, there's a huge push to get the police commissioner, Ray Kelly, to be the mayoral candidate. Could he win?
Yes, he could.
As a Republican, I should add. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, the NYPD has been very effective force. Here, doing the right thing, bringing down crime rates. We haven't had an act of terrorism since 9/11 because he's made it into that kind of. But he's more than that. He has tremendous political skills also, and people haven't noticed that. Generally, but if he were decide to run for mayor. He would have tremendous bipartisan support, and it's already shown that. I mean, Ed Koch has stepped out and said, I've already made an endorsement on the Democratic side that in fact, if Kelly were to run, he'd be all for Kelly over any of the Democratic candidates. New York City needs to have a strong leader running it. It's a tough job, and you need a tough person running it. Who yet has good political skills, and that's Ray Kelly.
I take it, Mr. Chairman, that you've had a few phone calls with him on this subject?
No. This is
This with Ray Kelly?
No. He is the commissioner of the NYPD, and he's doing that job, and politics should not enter into that. I'm not going to raise politics with him. I think there's a lot of discussions going on, and it's as people, and you have to focus, although we have a general election before the 2013 election. This is a time when it does need to be discussed among political people here in New York, and he is getting discussed, but he ought to stay above it and do his job as the commissioner of the NYPD, which is a tremendously important job.
Now, we all know that Andrew Cuomo has been doing a terrific job with bipartisanship, that the Republicans in the Senate seem to love him. So will you guys actively oppose a candidacy the next time around?
That's a long way off, and we have there's a lot to be done before then. I guess two more budgets, and so we're look. At the moment, we need to work together on a bipartisan basis to get New York State on the right track. New York State is still in the middle of a financial crisis. And showing up now at the state and local levels, the budgets are way out of whack. Our pension systems are still out of whack despite the reforms. And we need to get a job done here, and it's a tough job to do, and it needs to be accomplished on a bipartisan basis. So let's leave politics to a political year.
Well, Ed Cox, always great to have you with us. I'm so proud that you come on and talk to us and give us the advantage of knowing what you're thinking. Again, I want to thank you, and we hope that we'll have many more of these conversations.
Alan, enjoy it very much, as always.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.